RNZ Pacific. Nisa Mbulavi Naka, I'm Mara Tule Epitela with a bulletin of news. A COVID-19 positive patient has been flown to New Zealand from Fiji today. The infected patient from Fiji has been flown to Auckland for hospital treatment, despite an earlier decision by the Ministry of Health to decline the transfer. Alicia Foon has more.
It's reported the person involved is a high-profile staff member employed by an international group currently working in Fiji. The patient is due to board a special flight that is set to arrive in Auckland later this afternoon. The transfer comes after the Ministry of Health said earlier this week that the formal request had been declined on clinical grounds due to ICU space being at full capacity. But a Ministry of Health spokesperson says it's been determined ICU treatment can now be provided.
Fiji's government has defended its no lockdown policy as being the only solution to the country's COVID-19 crisis. The opposition has taken the government to task in Parliament over its continued refusal to take the country into lockdown to stop the virus spreading. The Minister for Economy, Ayed Sayed Kayyum, dismissed opposition claims that the government is overly dependent on vaccination, saying there is no alternative.
If they think we should have a complete lockdown, it is not a sustainable solution, as we've seen everywhere in the world. Vaccination is the only solution now, Mr. Speaker, sir. That is why our development partners, Australia and New Zealand, are giving us the vaccines, because that is the solution.
Fiji has recorded over 26,000 cases and 216 deaths since the latest outbreak began in April. Roch Wamitam has secured his third consecutive presidency of the New Caledonian Congress. The pro-independence Kanak leader registered a solid victory, securing 29 out of the 54 available votes for the speaker-like role. The result is a significant boost for the independence aspirations of Indigenous Kanaks, given the historic election last month of Louis Mapo as the first pro-independence Kanak to be elected president of the collegial government of the French territory. Roch Wamitam's successful re-election also leaves a bad taste in the anti-independence camps, who lost out on a potential deal to help overthrow him when they could not agree on a single candidate to oppose him. A spokesperson for Moree Lagoon in the Cook Islands claims $50 million a year is at stake if the government keeps ignoring issues that face Rarotonga's treasured waterway. Florence Sime Buchanan says Moree was declared a national disaster in 2015, but nothing has changed since. Ms. Sime Buchanan says the COVID border closure gave Moree time to recover, but it's already stagnating again. She says hotels on Moree don't have clean sewage treatment and water culverts are flooding sediment into the lagoon.
From the time we were declared, Moree Lagoon was declared a national disaster, that status has never been removed, so it is still a national disaster, but it has never been given the attention that it needs. Moree Lagoon disappears, and that's $50 million that, you know, we can say goodbye to.
Florence Sime Buchanan says officials came to a recent village meeting and acknowledged their concerns. Samoa's new minister for the Office of the Electoral Commission, Fau Alo Harry Schuster, is hinting at electoral reforms to prevent further elections ending in political crisis. The Samoa Observer reports the former district court judge says the goal of any future amendments would be to ensure that future elections are fair. He said there are electoral laws that seriously need to be looked at. The minister said too many election laws appeared to be arbitrary, something he says was particularly evident in pre-election challenges to candidates' eligibility. Meanwhile, the former Prime Minister Tuila Epasailelemelelengoe has again lashed out at the judiciary, calling for the resignation of the Chief Justice and other judges. A man has told New Zealand's Abuse and Care Royal Commission that it's important that people know his story so that it doesn't happen to anyone else. This is the final week of the Commission's Pacific Inquiry in Mangere in South Auckland. Billy Pukatanu, who is Tokelauan Māori, spoke of the extensive abuse and differential treatment he suffered whilst in state care and also in the care of the Salvation Army. Mr. Tanu first went to Epuni Boys Home in Lower Hutt, where he experienced all forms of abuse.
The boys were waiting in their rooms opposite each other, and whatever that they got in their hand, you just got to try and run through and make it to the end. So I had to run, and some of them had their chairs, and they would smash you on the way through. And it didn't get very far. Only got to like two or three doors, and then I was on the ground.
Billy Pukatanu says he wants a transformative change in the state care system in New Zealand. A commerce watchdog group in New Zealand wants consumers to pay less for their food. The country's Commerce Commission says the two major chains dominate the sector and avoid competition, which is not good for consumers. It suggests stronger competition as a way to delivering better prices, range of goods and services. It says that could be done by making it easier for new entrants into the industry or to allow smaller firms to expand. The Commission is also suggesting a code of conduct for dealing with food suppliers and mandatory unit pricing of goods. The US President Joe Biden is expected to announce tomorrow that government employees will need to be vaccinated against COVID-19 or be subject to regular testing. The US is seeing a rise in daily cases and sluggish vaccination rates. RNZ's correspondent William Denislow reports.
Officials also say a policy review is still underway and plans could alter. A move to require federal employees to get a COVID-19 vaccine or face repeated testing would mark a significant shift in approach as the nation seeks to curb the spread of the virus and encourage more people to get vaccinated. Less than half the population is currently fully vaccinated.
In sport, Fiji women's rugby sevens team has lost its first dub match at the Olympic Games in Tokyo. They fell to France by 12 points to 5. Fiji plays Canada later this afternoon in their second pool match. And rowers Kerry Gawler and Grace Prendergast have won the New Zealand's first gold medal of the Tokyo Olympics. They took the women's pair ahead of the Russian Olympic Committee and Canada. The two-time world champions went into the finals as favourites, having set a world best time in yesterday's semi-final. It's New Zealand's second rowing medal of the Games, with Brooke Donoghue and Hannah Osborne winning a silver medal in the double scull yesterday. And that's the latest news from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, go to our website, rnzi.com.